Welcome to Steadfast Hope. I'm joined by Kent Steinbeck. I'm Steve Lawson, and we're at Herb's House in Dallas, Texas. This is just a great place for ministry, yeah. Kent. I love being here. It's kind of a home away from home for me. I know for you.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, it's good to have you out.
Yeah, okay.
It's nice to be had.
Sure.
So we're in James chapter 1 in verse 1. The title of this is Slave of God. So James chapter 1, verse 1, and Kent, what's interesting is as I prepare to read this, this is the first verse that was actually written in the New Testament.
Is that right?
Yeah, James was the first book, and so this is the first verse of the first book. So, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. You know, Kent, there's some valuable truths for us to learn here about the Christian life, but let's just begin with James. He is the older half-brother of Christ and a brother of Jude, who also wrote a book in the New Testament. And he was the key leader in the church in Jerusalem in Acts 15. But what's important is this description, because this is so relevant to our Christian lives. He identifies himself, and he could have said, hey, I'm Jesus' brother, so pay attention to me. I've been living pretty close to him, and if anybody knows, I know. But no, he humbles himself, as you and I need to do, and he says, a bondservant of God. Well, you and I both know what this word is in the original language when James wrote this. It's doulos, which is really means a slave. And this word, doulos, means one who is in bondage to a greater authority. It's one who has a master, and you are enslaved to this master. And that's how James understands his relationship to God, that he is really held in the chains of grace, and that he is a slave of God, meaning he's under the authority of God's word, and he's living to glorify God. And before he was converted, he was a slave of sin, and he was a slave of dead religion. But when he was converted, he transfers his loyalty and his allegiance to God. And not only a bondservant of God, but he also adds, and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Kent, this is true in both of our lives, that we're really bondservants. We're slaves of Christ as well. And the word Lord here, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, means master, ruler. So you and I have a master. And that is Jesus Christ. And every master has slaves. And that's who we are. And so this necessitates our humility. This necessitates our submission under the lordship of Christ. It necessitates our obedience to Christ. And it necessitates that we look to him to meet all of our needs. Because a master took care of his slaves, and the Lord takes care of us. He provides for us because we live in his household of faith. And so this opening verse really is a strong statement of who we are. We are slaves of God and of Jesus Christ. And I might say this also speaks to the deity of Christ, that he is equated here with God. On the same level with God. This is addressed to the 12 tribes. That refers to early Jews who became Christians, who are dispersed abroad. And they are dispersed because of persecution. They've been run out of town and scattered. And so this tells us that being a slave of God does not mean that all of our troubles go away, because we live in a safe confinement in his house. But there are times when the Lord scatters us. I mean, I've been scattered before, Kent, run out of a church and out of a town. And that's what's happened to these early believers. And at the end of this, he extends greetings. and really calls them to rejoice and be glad while they're being dispersed and be persecuted. And only we as Christians can have joy in the midst of our trials. So, Kent, let's talk about this. There's so many things for us to dive into here, but where do you think we should go?
Well, I like, I need to hear this. I told you before we went on air that it better be good because I need it. And it is good.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's great.
It's exactly what I need.
Well, Kent, I need it as well.
So, Steve, when we're talking about, you said doulos, the word slave.
Yeah.
But our Bibles translate it servant, bondservant.
Yeah.
Is there a little, in the original language, can you talk about, it seems to me that slave is stronger than servant. Does that mean?
It is.
How are we to take that?
Yeah. A servant would be someone who would show up early in the morning with other servants and wait to be hired to go out into a vineyard, out into a field. They would be paid at the end of the day, and then they could go home and go back to their normal life.
Do what they want to do.
Do what they want to do, and they're on their own. And if they need more money, they show back up alongside the road the next morning and wait to be hired. And I once had a job unloading trucks, and I would show up at midnight at night and stand there not knowing if I'm going to be hired or not, and finally would be hired. And so that's the idea of a servant. A slave is far more intense. A slave means someone has paid a price and bought you in a slave market, and that you now belong to this new master, and you come home with him, and you actually live on his property, and he's now responsible to take care of all your needs, and you have really one job description, which is to please your master. And you just do whatever he says for you to do. And you live to please him. And so, Kent, you've asked a great question. And it's a dramatic difference from being just a servant to being a slave. And as we've said, being a slave means you've been bought with a price. And that is with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body.
So this word, and I don't want to get into too much, but still the point is, when we read this, it looks like servant, that it's more optional.
Yeah.
Why did the translators use the word servant and not the word slave, which is really what it should be?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think it really goes back to the social stigma of slavery, which is not a pretty picture. And not just of our history, but really almost around the world, people being held against their will, held captive, and have suffered harsh treatment. And so to translate this and to kind of distance themselves from this stigma, they went with bondservant just to soften it. But the real meaning is slave.
So I guess that's the follow-up question is, my mind, I typically kind of run from being bound or being a slave to anything. I want my freedom.
Yeah.
How is this the opposite then? If we are the Lord's slave, how does that actually give us freedom?
Yeah.
Because it seems a paradox. If I'm a slave, then I can't do what I want to do. I don't want to do. I'm upset. I'm down. I'm not happy. I'm not joyful. What's the difference here?
Well, we have the greatest master that there could possibly be, and everything he directs us to do is the greatest thing that we could ever do with our life, and it will bring us greatest fulfillment and satisfaction, even if it involves sacrifice and some pain. And so all of his commandments to us lead us into the very center of his will. And we live to please him. And we can't be pleased unless he's pleased. And so you've asked a great question. We've been set free from lustful desires. We've been set free from worldliness and self-centeredness. But we're not free to do whatever we want to do. We now serve the Lord's bidding.
So, in other words, what you're saying is if we become slaves, this mindset of doulos, then that's really where we get our freedom. That's really where we have our joy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really where we find our greatest fulfillment.
It is, and those words you just used, Kent, are perfect. I can't add to or improve on those. The greatest joy that I know in my Christian life is knowing Christ and doing His will and doing His work. And when I do that, I feel His pleasure. And so it's not that doing His will in any way hinders us. It's really liberating because it's stepping into the abundant life that He's come to give us. And so we as His slaves find our greatest joy and pleasure. And as you said, satisfaction, peace and contentment in serving our Lord.
That's awesome.
So, Kent, this is a great study. And you're right. We both needed to hear this. And I know you needed to hear this as well. And so wherever you are as you're listening to this, I pray that you, if you're a believer in Christ, that you'll recognize that you are a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ and a slave of God, and that your greatest joy is in serving Him. Well, God bless you. Can't wait to see you next time for Steadfast Hope.